In the newly released U.S.-Israel Strategic Partnership Joint Declaration, Biden and Lapid affirmed that they will continue to work together to combat all efforts to boycott or delegitimize Israel, to deny its right to self-defense, or to unfairly single it out in any forum, including at the United Nations or the International Criminal Court. That means the Biden administration commits to opposing to constitutionally protect boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, affirming Israeli regime's illegal claim of self-defense against Palestinians under its occupation, stymieing the International Criminal Court's investigation of Israeli regime war crimes, and voting against any criticism of Israeli regime in the UN General Assembly. While Biden pledges allegiance to the Zionist regime, thousands of Palestinians in the Masafer Yatta region of the occupied West Bank are facing imminent forced expulsions from their homes. Although this would violate the Geneva Conventions, Biden has not condemned it in spite of protests by U.S. Jewish organizations and 100 U.S. Congress members. Biden would not meet with the people of Masafer Yatta or any other Palestinian community whose homes are threatened with demolition funded by U.S. tax dollars. Biden's visit comes on the heels of the U.S. government's whitewashing of the Zionist regime's assassination of beloved Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Aghaleh, who reported for Al Jazeera for 25 years. Although the U.S. concluded she was likely killed by the Israeli regime military, the U.S. said it had no reason to believe the killing was intentional, but rather the result of tragic circumstances. Abu Aghaleh, who was wearing a helmet and vest labeled press, was shot below her ear, the only part of her face that was unprotected. Al Jazeera journalist Shatta Hanasha, who also wore a helmet and vest marked as press, said the soldiers did not stop firing even after Abu Aghaleh collapsed. The army was adamant on shooting to kill. A CNN forensic investigation cited explosive weapons expert Chris Cobb Smith, who concluded that the number of strike marks on the tree where Abu Aghaleh was standing proves this wasn't a random shot. She was targeted. In a letter sent to Biden in advance of his visit, Abu Aghaleh's family charged that the United States has been skulking toward the erasure of any wrongdoing by Israeli forces. 2 weeks before Israeli regime forces assassinated Abu Aghaleh, three leading Palestinian journalist organizations filed a complaint in the International Criminal Court that accused the Zionist regime of systematically targeting Palestinian journalists. But Biden refused to meet with Abu Aghaleh's family while he was in the region. Biden has refused to reverse other Trump actions that pandered to the Zionist regimes as well. He has not withdrawn Trump's illegal recognition of Al-Quds as the capital of the fake regime of Israel, nor has he rescinded Trump's declaration of legitimacy of illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank or reopened the Palestinian mission in Washington. Biden's visit to the occupied Palestinian territories demonstrates a scant difference between his administration and Trump's in their uncritical, unwavering support for the fabricated regime of Israel. Using American people's tax dollars, the U.S. regime continues to enable Israeli regime's illegal and brutal occupation of Palestinian lands.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the honor of being joined by Sister Salma Khalfan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure we've discussed this before, either on this segment or some other shows, but you can never talk about it enough, really. An Islamic lifestyle, one that a woman can implement into her everyday life, into her routine, and that would bring her a sense of satisfaction, a sense of satiation, you know, that she'd feel fulfilled in her life. I think that's so important. Because at the end of the day, what are we trying to do except find meaning in life?
We want to feel that we are living for a purpose.
Yes.
Otherwise, you see that sometimes, you know, shaitan comes in our mind and we feel that, why did we come to this world in the first place? But if you have a purpose and a goal, we'll always look at the end, the goal. That, no, I want Allah to be happy with me. I want to prosper because Allah has kept a place for me in Jannah. He wants me to live there forever.
Beautiful.
This world is just like a bridge to pass. We have to collect the good deeds and go there in the long run. So it doesn't mean that, you know, we have to be miserable in this world. Plus Allah says that even treat your nafs, part of your day should go in giving those treats to yourself to feel happy about it, you know. Because we are so much attached to this nature. Our body is inclined to, you know, this kind of nature that is outside, eating, drinking, getting happy, friends, social life. Allah said, no, it's halal. Enjoy. But don't spend your time, everything in that. And have a rule to have an aim behind these things.
Yeah, it's not your objective.
Yes. Only we have to be alert.
Yeah.
The point is to be alert that why are you doing this? Alert in all matters. The worldly and the hereafterly. Otherwise, sometimes the worldly matters, if you're alert, you earn so much sawabs, more than the hereafterly, where you don't practice that being alert. You're just doing it out of habituation.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
So everything requires that alertness. Now here, a woman has, of course, again, a very great, big, beautiful role to play at home, and how to make a lifestyle like a preparation ground for the betterment of the society. First, when she gets married. And that's between the spouses, how she acts with her spouse. So there are two things that are very important when the man and the woman enjoy this right. A woman has the right to be loved and to be taken care of. A man has the right to be respected. So these two things are like two pillars to give rise to a generation who have love in their hearts and who have respect for the people to make, you know, like everything go swiftly in every way among their children, with the people, in the society, you know, your relationships with people, how you want the betterment for the people, how you want their progress. All of it revolves around love and respect. And that is, those are the lessons you yourself practice with your husband first.
Beautiful.
So you deserve that love. It's very important for a man to even express his love. And Hadith says that when you do express this love, it does never come out from her heart. Mm. It's the way she is, you know. She appreciates that. And Halid Deen Illal Hub. Deen is all about love. If you go and see, we have the master character in us to want to express love and to feel loved. And then there's another side of it. A man, he needs that respect. He needs to be shown that respect. He's the authority. Yeah. He's the authority of the house. So with these two things, you're building a very good society. And a man and woman should compete in this. You know, like who is giving more love and who is giving more respect. So it's very important. As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, ulaika al-muqarrabun. And that's preparing for the zuhur of Imam Zamana. He wants the muqarrabin to be the leaders, right? The 313. And then when this comes about and you see strong relationships like this giving rise to offsprings that are so like, mashallah, they are so successful at home, in their akhlaq, with their respect towards their parents, and outside also. They are so like successful in every way. People love them because of their good akhlaq. They show respect to people and they move forward. The society loves them. So respect and love is fused in them. Through what? That society that is built in the smallest unit of the home. Mm-hmm. And that's what? Spreading the Islamic lifestyle.
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, sisters, brothers, ladies, gentlemen. This is Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio.
When we are bringing up children, the best miras and inheritance you can leave is the good manners.
Absolutely.
Adab is the best miras to give the children. It's good because they have a sense of confidence in them also. When people respect them around them, that what a mashallah, respectful person this, what a kind person, what a loving person, they gain that self-confidence that I'm appreciated. So it moves on. And then another thing that is so important, that is Islamic lifestyle, is being organized at home. Nazm. Right. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam in his deathbed said,
Nazm fi umurikum.
Al-Quran, Nazm fi umurikum, right? That means in all the matters, organization is very important. And Allah, alhamdulillah, has given us such a beautiful timetable, our five daily prayer. That starts off with Nazm, you know? And such a Nazm that we have to be aware of all the timings in the right ways and also prepare that we are, you know, like when we are praying, we are conversing with Allah. So if we sin around, then we have not prayed the proper prayer. And in fact, the prayer's outlet is that it makes you stronger in faith also. It makes you more fearful. It makes you more alert. It makes you more, you know, aware of what you're doing. Because you don't want that prayer to be wasted. Okay? Having a timetable for yourself, that is the spiritual timetable. And that when you do have, you'll see that you'll have an organized timetable for your children as well. That you know your children, how it's natural in a mother to see the timetable of a child. It's very important also when the baby is born that a mother keeps the timetable of the child. That you know it's so and so times this child will need to be fed, to be nursed. And so time, this child has a nap. And so time, this child needs to play. So it's so natural to love that Nazm, that organization, you know. Yeah, the routine should be used so beautifully that you feel a sense of achievement at the end of the day. But everything goes wrong and you don't know, okay, so my baby, why is he crying? Okay, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. You don't feed him properly, or you go out at that time and leave it to the husband, or you find a nurse, you know, to take care of the child. You'll see everything going so wrong, you know, in the life of a child. Mm. So it starts with when a mother has this child whom she loves so much, whom she has the natural inclination to get a timetable for. So Allah loves us more than that. He wants us to also develop this timetable, the spiritual and physical timetable.
Yeah, because we need stability.
Yes.
That's one of the most fundamental things a child needs during the early stages of their lives. And we all started at that point as children. And we need stability. We need something that we can depend on in terms of it creating a structure for our lives. And only through that can we have the, like you said, the confidence and the inner peace to navigate through life. Yeah. You take that away from a child because you don't know how to parent right, or because you can't even stick to your religious routines and schedules. And not only did you ruin your akhirah, you ruined this child's dunya as well.
And then you'll see such children, they're complaining of boredom.
Yes.
And so I'm often bored. Yes, I'm bored. So, you know, like I usually use this method that, you know, when before they even have the chance to say that we are bored, like the night before you tell them tomorrow we have a very long day. You're going to do this, we're going to do that,
yes,
we're going to do this and that. So we have four things in our agenda and they're all useful. So it's like you look forward
they're
to it.
They're already looking forward.
Yeah, they're all. Yes. They don't have time to be bored, you
exactly
see.
Exactly.
So like if we want to read the next day, we'll say that we have a class tomorrow and then we're going to read this book and then you're going to play for a while and then again we're going to go, for example, out for a while and then we're going to go to the mosque and when we come back, we'll be so tired that we're going to sleep.
Exactly.
So it's like a whole timetable being built and it's so important. I remember that when I was young, I used to complain of boredom a lot. And I used to feel that I don't know what to do with my time. Mm. And just the idle mind is the devil's workshop, you see.
Totally.
So it's so important to not repeat this mistake. And I felt that, why am I bored? When there's so many things to do, I have so many books to read. But I guess, you know, with like sometimes the surroundings around you, so many kids around you, somehow lack of knowledge, your parents don't know the very right thing to do at that time. Maybe overwhelmed with the situation, maybe no helper around them. So it's not their fault. But now we could do a favor for them to bring their generation, give the generation quality.
Yep.
Right? So we want to give their generation quality by realizing all these things and making it better for them, the kids. So it's very important to have the nazm always.
Nazm fi umurikum,
in our lives. In the lives of our weekly duties also, preparing a timetable for cooking so that you don't have an excuse to say, what do I cook? Always have a timetable that, for example, if, you know, a general timetable, I'm going to have meat twice a day. I'm going to cook meat twice a day. Or sometimes I'm going to cook for 2 days. You know, I'm going to cook in such a way with the consent of the people around you that I'm going to eat for 2 days. It's okay because I'm busy, right? And you have the permission.
Have a plan.
Yeah, you
just
have a plan.
Have a plan.
I need to do some reading.
Yeah.
So when you do have a plan, you go so swiftly and you feel time is so much barakat, so much like blessings that you can do so many things during a day. And you feel so blessed. You feel so happy.
So fulfilled.
Yeah, so fulfilled.
Young people who are struggling with what direction to take in life, they go to a counselor or a therapist or whatever. The first thing that person would say is that have a routine, have a schedule, wake up and go to bed at a certain time.
Yeah.
Start somewhere.
At least know what you're going to do during the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Something fruitful, something that will give you pleasure, happiness, that's the right thing, that will make you grow in perfection, that you would feel useful. that you're doing something that makes you happy. Inshallah, that we use ourselves, our time in the best, the appropriate manner and not waste the time. It's so much stressed in Quran, you know, by the time Allah swears. Why this time? Because it's our capital, our asset, that every time we, like even now, moment by moment, I'm getting closer to my death.
Mm.
So it's inevitable that it's going. But if I'm compensating it with good deeds, then I get a better capital, you know, that capital that is lost. Allah wants a better capital for you.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Through these things that you use your time in the, you know, with Ibad, Amal Saleh, calling people towards truth, calling people towards sabr, and joining, you know, people towards patience and things like that. So, inshallah, with all this, Islam is replete with so many good things for us, so many teachings through ahadith, Quran. We just have to open our hearts, as I time and again say, towards these things, and we'll see that we are moving forward, having a beautiful life, and having that qanaat, that feeling of satisfaction that we were born for the right purpose. Otherwise, you know, it's like sometimes you feel that, why am I doing this?
Why do I bother even?
Yeah, why do I bother?
Oh, it's
and then you waste yourself
feeling.
and you feel so left out. And if you keep on, it brings so much hopelessness now within you, which is gunai kabira, and then it takes you towards, God forbid, a person may feel that
so many suicidal
my life.
Thoughts, yeah, that people are having sadly in the world is because they're thinking, why do I bother?
Yeah.
What's the meaning of any of this? And I'm not saying that, oh, just fix your iman and everything's going to be all right. It comes with knowledge. It comes with practice, with patience,
yeah,
with help and support.
Iman.
Yes. And all of that is so very important. And we are so out of time. Thank you so very much, Sister Salma.
You're welcome.
For your insight. And thank you to our listeners for being with us. Until another episode, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I know I'm waiting. Waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us enlighten our minds and souls with a bezel of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's first infallible successor, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Peace be upon him. He who is deserted by friends and relatives will often find help and sympathy from strangers.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Summer heat is here and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. Pyridesa Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it. The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. Some rescue stories are tragic, but this one has a happy ending. A stranded elephant and her calf have been pulled out of a drainage hole in a dramatic rescue mission during monsoon rains in Thailand. The mother elephant was guarding her calf that had fallen into a golf course drain hole when rescuers arrived. Vets had to use tranquilizers to subdue the frantic mother. But on her way down, she hit her head on a concrete block, knocking her unconscious as she fell into the muddy cavity. Rescuers used a crane to lift her out. It took two men jumping up and down on her chest to resuscitate her. Meanwhile, a digger was brought in to move the muddy earth and create a ramp for the calf to climb out. It took the team more than 3 hours to finish the operation. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There, they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. than the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles and planets of planets and galaxies.
The International Fajj Fashion and Clothing Festival has drawn fashion designers from Iran and around the world. The designs displayed are trendy and at the same time they conform to the Islamic dress code. Yusuf Jalali has this report.
It's the Iranian fashion's biggest day. The 11th Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival brought under one roof fashion designers from across Iran and some other Muslim nations to step up their designs.
I have participated here as a fashion designer. I am so happy to be a part of this event because it acts as a platform that links designers to producers and is helped like promote quality design in the market.
This festival is a major event in the Islamic world's fashion industry because it helps promote fashionable clothes that conform to Islamic guidelines.
A typical Iranian woman wears a button-up coat called manto and a scarf covering the head. Some others wear a piece of cloth called chador, which covers the body from head to toe. One of the challenges Iranian fashion designers have to deal with is to tailor their designs to Islamic dress code or hijab while keeping them trendy.
Clothes represent the identity of a nation. As a designer, my mission is to design clothes that best represent the dresser's nationality and their culture. At the same time, the aesthetic aspect of the garment need to catch the attention. I think this is an ultimate artistry if accomplished.
Smuggling is another persisting problem in the Iranian clothing industry. Out of the $8 billion annual turnover of Iran's garment industry, a whopping $5 billion is supplied through smuggling, say activists here. Experts say one of the reasons smuggling has the lion's share in Iran's clothing market is that it's more cost-effective to import foreign clothes rather than produce them domestically.
We are making our best efforts to push down the production costs, including the associated taxes, in order to promote designs that reflect our Islamic and Iranian identities, opposed to Western designs that seek to dominate global markets.
With all the actors in Iran's fashion industry present in the Fajr Festival, the event is seen as a place to highlight and address the challenges with the aim to provide the stage for Iranian fashion activists to shine in the domestic market.
It might seem contradictory when we would associate fashion with the Islamic dress code, but it's the art of a fashion designer that sews traditions to style and designs clothes that are both stylish and hijab. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Elephants are the largest living animals on Earth that, in many cultures, are associated with good luck, wisdom and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's Special for You, we present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, you're listening to IRIB English Radio, this program, today's special. We're speaking about orphan care in Islam.
She was just standing there, little girl all alone, barely covered head to toe, barely just 12 years old. Why is she all alone? Why is the world just so cold? Why don't we play our part? What is hard in our hearts? What is hard in our hearts?
Today, Thursday, is the 21st of Zulhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. And at this time, we'll listen to Chapter An-Nisa, verse 10.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وسيصلون سعيرا.
Indeed, those who devour the property of orphans unjustly are only consuming into their bellies fire, and they will be burned in a blaze.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In Tafsir al-Mizan, this verse has been taken as an evidence for the embodiment of deeds in hereafter. Devouring the property of the orphan will turn to fire on Resurrection Day. Devouring the property of the orphan is unlawful when it is done unjustly and with transgression. Else the usual holding familiar relations, which does not cause a loss or damage to the orphans, and there is not any evil intention towards devouring their property, is admissible. The apparent shape here is devouring the property of the orphan, but the real feature of it will be made manifest in the form of fire in the hereafter.
هو اليتيم قلب رحيم كفيله له النعيم هو اليتيم قلب رحيم وصية النبي الكريم.
You are with today's special. Our topic is about orphan care in Islam. Once a man came to the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, complaining about his harsh heart. The Prophet addressed the man, saying, "Do not want something that makes your heart lenient and your deeds fulfilled. Be merciful to the orphans, touch their hair gently, and feed them from your own food. If you do these things, I guarantee that your heart will become soft and your needs will be fulfilled. We are in dire need to brainstorm with ourselves, our families, our young people, our kids, and our smaller communities about the basic rights of orphans. When you go to sleep with your little baby on your cozy bed, don't forget the hundreds of orphan babies who die from bad weather conditions. The issue at hand can't be solved if we continue to ignore our responsibility towards them. It is a stain on the face of human dignity to forget the helpless orphans, or even to highlight their plight occasionally whenever human tragedies occur.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with favoring orphans in the Islamic religion. In this connection, it must be indicated that rich people sometimes favor the orphans by way of giving financial help to them. However, this isn't enough. A kind of a sympathetic behavior and sympathetic way of treating orphans are quite necessary in this regard. And in case within the close family members of someone, there are some orphans, those people who are able to favor those orphans are expected not to forget them, because, I mean, those orphans belong to them. I mean, those orphans are the close relatives. In this connection, it must be indicated that the orphans have received a very important and special place in the Islamic religion. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. It means that hasn't God found you an orphan so that he gave you shelter? At the same time, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was an orphan. So perhaps more than anybody else, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out that how being an orphan, how difficult is being an orphan. Elsewhere, the Holy Quran indicates that فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Never annoy, never make any orphan annoyed, or never annoy any orphan. This is because, or since an orphan doesn't have a father, I mean the father of an orphan or the mother of an orphan is already dead, so no orphan should feel that the whole community, and particularly his or her, I mean, close relatives, are oblivious of him or her.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Your wealth will be blessed is the topic of this part. We learn from the Holy Quran and Sunnah that giving in charity is a way to bless your wealth. It does not decrease it. In fact, it increases it manifold. Supporting orphans is one of the ways to give charity. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Baqarah, that is chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse 177, righteousness in the sight of Allah dwells in one who, despite his love for it, gives of his wealth in charity to close relatives and orphans, and to the needy and the wayfarer and beggars, and for the emancipation of slaves. Again, that was chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 177.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُرُهُ الأبصار ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
Now one question arises, how can we help the orphans? Helping families stay together. This is one way. Do you know that not every child placed in an orphanage qualifies for adoption? The truth is that most kids in orphanages do have parents that love them but just can't take care of them. There are many reputable organizations you can support that fulfill this mission. Some organizations work for children that still live with their parents, children that without a financial sponsor would be placed in an orphanages and be separated from their parents. Other organizations work for the benefit of those children who do qualify for adoption. The sponsorship usually ranges from $20 to $50 per month, and you will be paying for food, medical care, school fees, and sometimes shelter. Often you receive the blessing of being able to communicate with the child that you sponsor.
In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the laws of the physical property, the wealth of an orphan. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. And do not approach, do not come close to the money, the property of an orphan, unless it is in his best interest. Why does Allah azza wa jalla say that? Because during the jahiliyyah, what would happen? The father dies. This is a young child. He inherits money from his father, right? But he's a child. He needs a custodian. He needs a guardian. His uncle would come. His cousin would come, right? And with the pretext of taking care of that child, they would take the money. They would spend most of it, 90%, and then 10% they would spend on the child. So that's why they would be happy when they see a child is orphaned, because this was an opportunity to take his inheritance. Allah Azza wa Jal says in this verse, this is haram. Do not touch the money of the orphan unless it is in his best interest. You cannot spend $1, one dime for you. You want to be the guardian, you want to be the wasi, you want to be the wali, fine. But you have to make sure that you are keeping the interest of the child in mind. In fact, taking the money of the child is amongst the kaba'ir. The money of the yatim, if someone spends $1 of it, Allah says in another verse in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. Allah says in those individuals that eat the money of the yatim, they go and they unjustly take it, they are eating fire in their stomach. Allah Azza wa Jal will punish them for this. And don't think this was just during the jahiliyyah. Up until this day, brothers and sisters, I hear stories of a father that dies and the uncle comes, and with the pretext of taking care of the child, he takes the money for himself. His brother that died was wealthy, so he takes most of the money and he leaves, you know, the crumbs for that poor orphan.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting discussion. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي.
لا إله إلا الله، الله ربي،
محمد نبي، علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.